pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven. Yeah.
And let's get going here on a Wednesday. Thanks so much for being a part of the show. We have a lot to do today, including a look ahead to the Swamp Kings. That's the new Netflix show on Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow's Florida championship years. We'll talk a lot about many other subjects as well. Let's get started with Nick Saban and the QB situation. Saban sending out a message, force us to play you. Does that sound like a national championship in the making?
No.
I don't know. Well, we know Jaden Daniels is not worried about whether he'll play or not, but will he make a Joe Burrow type of jump? Remember Burrow? Good. He was good in 18, and he called the shot. Remember, he sat with us and said, are you kidding? I said, well, do you think you're one of the top five quarterbacks? He looked at me like, are you insane? I'm the best quarterback, and he turned out to be that. Mm-hmm. What about Jaden? He could make the same jump. Meanwhile, back to the gridiron. Rick Pitino's not happy. Of course, that hasn't changed much in about 30 years. Why are we making all the other sports suffer? College hoops coaches are unhappy with what is happening in football. Well, might want to get used to it. A lot of conversation about that in the world of expansion. Most of it seems to be predicated on football, and the AP poll is out and people are digesting it. What does it mean, assuming it means anything? It is a benchmark, and it's an important benchmark. And the first poll article is always under the name of Ralph Russo, who joins us. Ralph, thanks for the time. Great to have you on. And no surprise at the top, as you dug into that, as it was spitting across your desk a couple of days ago, what stood out?
Good to join you as always, Paul. Good to be talking football and that realignment. No surprise, Georgia up top. I think Georgia sort of gets the Alabama treatment now. I think that's what happens when you win two straight national championships. There are some questions about quarterback, though I think Carson Beck is going to be pretty good. They have a whole new boatload of excellent front seven guys on the defense they have to work in, but we've seen glimpses and glances enough of those guys to think that they're going to be okay. So Georgia gets the benefit of the doubt. The other thing that really jumps out at me is the top 10 is full of blue bloods, right? You have Florida State in the top 10 again for the first time, I think, the 2017, 2016, I can't remember now. USC's in the top 10 for the first time in about 5 or 6 years. Penn State in the top 10 after a couple of years out of that range. And I think that's, to me, somewhat significant because I think those are the type of programs that tend to live up to the expectations. Not always. Texas certainly has been letting people down for about 10 years now. But I do think that it's interesting to see these blue bloods mostly packing up those top 10 spots. Usually it's those type of programs, but there seems to be even more of them this year.
And speaking of packing up, only two of those schools in the top 10 are moving next year. One would like to, and that's Florida State. But we'll table that for a little bit later in the conversation. Let's stay on the field. Ralph, if it ended like this, we would have quite a farewell to the four-team playoff with two SEC and two Big Ten schools. But that seems like where college football is right now. I'm curious, as you assess – not so much Georgia, but Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan. What do you see?
I see maybe the best Michigan team Harbaugh has had, but I don't necessarily know if that means that Michigan wins the Big Ten again. I see no reason to think that Ohio State or Penn State, if Drew Aller emerges the way we have seen other unproven first-year starting quarterbacks emerge, like Bryce Young winning a Heisman, like C.J. Stroud becoming a Heisman candidate. Not that Drew Aller needs to be a Heisman winner, but I think the track record on some of these unproven, quote-unquote, unproven first-year quarterbacks is sometimes these kids hit real fast. And if that were to be the case, then all of a sudden it's no longer a two-horse race in the Big Ten East. It's a three-horse race with Penn State. And, listen, it's hard not to – look at Alabama at number four. My gosh, Paul, they're only number four. It's been since 2009 was the last time Alabama was ranked this low. They were number five under Nick Saban that year, and they won the national championship. Like, I understand that there's a fair amount of uncertainty about quarterback and some other positions, but I also find myself thinking this is still Alabama, and there's still a lot of talent there. And I just keep wondering if Nick Saban finds himself, you know, when he's in his office alone at night going, they don't know. They don't know. They're underestimate me, rank me number four, and they don't know.
And I think he probably is, except for when he takes a look out his window at the quarterback situation. And I mean, we know you can survive with a serviceable quarterback, but does Alabama have that right now?
So, you know, I know Jalen Milroe was, you know, the standards have become so high, right? Poor Jalen Milroe, he comes in, he wins a few games. They almost lose to Texas A&M, and everybody is like, oh, this kid, he won't cut it. He's a pretty special athlete. And then they bring in Tyler Buchner, and, you know, is that a red flag, or is that just, hey, we just want more options here, and this is a kid who, from Notre Dame, was a pretty good player, and he knows Tommy Rees, and Tommy Rees knows him, the new offensive coordinator, so maybe that's a good relationship, and it gets more options. Part of me, I understand the hesitation and to think that maybe it won't be as good as Bryce Young, as good as Tua, as good as Mac Jones was his 1 year as a starter, maybe not as good as Jalen Hurts was. The bar is so high. But I have a hard time imagining that among the three options there, it will be incompetent, right? Like, so I got to think that they'll find an option there that is at least good enough to make Alabama very good.
Ralph, as we close up, I do want to address the summer of discontent, the assault on Washington, the expansion. Let me start with the NIL piece. After all that conversation, where are we on that nationally? Are we any closer, or has the needle moved at all?
Hard to tell what's going on in Washington behind closed doors. Obviously, they have some bigger things to do, but they do seem to have some lawmakers from both sides of the table. I think this is the last time I was on with you. I was saying, hey, if you can get some bipartisan support behind an NIL bill, that would seem to be a place where things could move forward. But I think the bigger development is the NCAA is going to come up with a plan B, right? The NCAA is preparing for a world in which they don't get federal assistance. And they're going to try to move forward making some rules on their own. We'll see if those rules line up to legal scrutiny in the long run. But I think the simple fact that the NCAA is going to sort of get back in the game here and try to do its own work and not rely on federal help is probably the biggest development there.
And on the story in the latter part of the summer, the wild Willie expansion conversation, that has quieted down. I don't know. I say that because I don't think there was anything really left to do. But in the aftermath, I mean, what are you hearing from college administrators, athletic directors, and people in the industry as we try to sort all this out?
So I would say this, Paul. I don't know if it's going to stay quiet completely because there's still some things to sort out with those schools out west, and I'm not quite sure the ACC is completely done considering expansion. I'm pretty sure that there's still some thought in the ACC that maybe a westward expansion could be the way to go. So I don't know if we're ever really done with this stuff. I think the biggest takeaway I find myself, even with folks who found a good landing spot, I think that there's a certain amount of dismay about, like, what are we doing here? You know, and listen, nobody's hands are clean here, too, because it's easy for me to say, it's easy for somebody to tell me, man, I think things are crazy. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing these athletes? Is this really the way to go? And almost no matter who we talk to in that setting, you can flip it around and say, yeah, but what did you do to cause this? I mean, you had a great interview with Commissioner Sankey about a week and a half ago, or I can't remember. But, you know, you're all to blame. Like, I understand Greg made a move that, you know, and the SEC made a move that it felt like it really needed to with Oklahoma and Texas. But the fact of the matter is that was the first domino that led to all this stuff. So in some ways, nobody is to blame because everybody is to blame.
Ralph Russo, always a fantastic conversation. Thank you very much, Ralph. Ralph, who writes for the AP. We'll take a break here. We have a lot to do on this four-hour presentation right in the middle of the week, in the middle of the month. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We're back to school again. We're doing this all week as we go to every campus in the SEC and talk to the student reporters. Several today will be joining us, including one from Mississippi, one from Kentucky, and A&M. Let's get to the calls here. Okay. Will is in North Carolina. Hello, Will.
Hey, Paul. Just got back from Alabama football camp, and I have the inside scoop on who's going to start at QB for you.
Let us know.
Well, it's not going to come down to athleticism at all. I've been wondering this past summer, what's the deal with Nick Saban and talking about cakes and desserts and all this? It's going to come down to a bake-off, I believe. It's what? The inside track is a carrot cake with oatmeal cream pie icing. And Jordan Milroe made it, and I think that's going to be your winner. I think that's why he was talking about all these desserts all summer. I was trying to figure it out, and finally it just comes down to a plain old-fashioned bake-off.
Well, let's do it. Thank you very much, Will. Appreciate the update. How about Doug in Tulsa? You're on the air. Hello, Doug.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Okay, buddy.
Good. Hey, there was a lot of talk about new callers yesterday, and as you know, I'm a new caller, and I started calling back in June. But before that, I listened to your show for 2 years, just silently listened. And the reason why I listened is I wanted to feel what the show was really about. The listeners get to know what was going on. So for me, it was kind of like 2 years of college. All right. And so then I finally had enough guts to make my first call. And that was good. But yesterday I felt great fear and anxiety from some of the old time callers yesterday, Paul. I really did.
Okay, let's hear it. What did you hear?
Okay, well, there was a couple of newfound buddies that spoke some derogatory comments about the new callers, calling them idiots, say they were placeholders, things like that. And you know, that's okay with me. It really is. I'm not offended because we're kind of like freshmen, and freshmen don't get a lot of respect. And I get it because I'll give you an example on that. Yesterday, I called in at the very beginning of the show, just like I did today, and I waited an hour and 40 minutes to talk to you. But you know what? I'm not complaining because I'm having to earn my street.
So Doug, if I could speed this up because the show only lasts 4 hours, is there anybody specifically that ticked you off? Let's have the name.
Well, I wasn't really ticked off, but you know, Jim.
Doug, we do not need to equivocate on every answer here. Just spit it out. Who are you talking about?
Okay. Well, Jim and I, man, who are the newfound buddies, they kind of went after the new callers. And so, you know, I noticed that. But here's my challenge to some of the old guys that have been around for a while is you're going to have to grow some thick skin because there are new callers. We're not going anywhere. We're staying. These times, they are a changing. And when there's no growth, guess what there is, Paul, when there's no growth?
Stagnation.
Death. That's right.
Okay, well, so, Doug, I think you made a really good point. Thank you for sharing that. Peggy is up next. Hello, Peggy.
Hey, Paul, you have had well, let me start. Thank you for taking my call, Paul. I get so excited I forget to say that, honey, and I apologize. But, boy, I'm just catching up with, like, the past couple of weeks, and I'm telling you what, I don't even know where to start. How about, I will address what you're talking about, where the guys went to Washington, you know, on that crusade there to try to get them to do something about the NIL. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Oh, okay. You know, I can tell
Randy,
you
we
something.
We might have to start drinking a little early tonight.
We might
have to. It's 5 o'clock in England right now, so we're good. Well, Peggy, what the NIL thing has kind of gone away.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. So they're not trying to get them to do anything about
it. Well, they are,
it.
But
up on that.
Right now Congress is just busy. They have a lot on their plate. They really don't seem to care much about NIL. Shannon is up next. Hello, Shannon.
Big Paul, we're drinking over here already, too. So
okay, well, save me a pint.
Paul, your first guest made me take three shots. Paul, I need you to make something make sense to me. I'm not a very smart man, and I understand that, but I've been following college football for a long time, and I maybe follow it too closely. I heard your guest say earlier that there were question marks at quarterback for Georgia, right? Wasn't sure about the quarterback position. I heard Reese Davis on College Football Live say that Georgia's unproven at quarterback. Paul, tell me if I'm wrong. I spent 2 years as a Georgia fan listening to every expert that was on this show and every armchair quarterback and pseudo-guru calling and say, Georgia can't win with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. I heard the former sideline Monday Night Football reporter say on your show out of his own mouth, Georgia will never beat Alabama with Stetson Bennett at quarterback.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Was that – yeah, that
hey,
was the narrative
I have a question for
years.
You, Shannon, because everybody
yeah.
was wrong.
Yeah.
Of the Georgia quarterbacks – do you think if you compare Georgia's quarterback room with Gunner, you got Vandergriff, and then obviously the starter, the presumed starter, do you think – how many of those three do you think could beat out Milroe, Ty Simpson, and Tyler Buckner right now at Alabama?
Paul, that's an unfair question. I've never seen any of those four from Alabama throw the ball. I know what I know. I know the situation is a little more settled at Georgia than it is at Alabama from what I'm reading and hearing.
Well, I'll answer my own question. I think all three could start at Alabama.
Well, Paul, I mean, you're trying to bait me on that one, but I'll take the bait.
No more. I've already answered it.
Well, you are sharp today, Paul. You are sharp today.
Well, that's only as a result of some who aren't.
My next question, though, Paul, was about the talent level around the quarterback at Georgia, because the other narrative was that anybody could win at quarterback. My question is, how can there be an issue at quarterback or a question at quarterback if we've got an able-bodied thrower there with all that talent around them? That was going to be the point. But I do like where you took the discussion, and I'll say this. I think Brock Vandergriff and Gunnar Stockton can start any school in the Southeastern Conference probably tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's therein lies the difference. Now, if one of those guys at Alabama can come through and not make mistakes and all the cliches that will be given to death here, they'll be okay. But nobody has emerged yet. Why don't we take a break? Good with you?
Good.
We have a lot to do. We haven't even started today. We've only had one guest. Another one around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And we're back to campus now. We have been doing this for a couple of days, and we'll work our way through the entire SEC. Right now, we head to Oxford, Mississippi. Who wouldn't want to be there as school dawns for another semester? And Cameron Larkin from the Daily Mississippian. Cameron, first of all, thanks so much for being here. Let's talk a little about you for just a moment. You're a young guy who already has moved through the system to command a prime spot for the Daily Mississippian. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah, so I wrote a lot last year for the DM and applied for the editorship. Ended up getting the assistant editor. Cards fell into place. Original editor went to Florida for grad school. Ended up in this position, and I couldn't be more excited for the opportunity to just grow in being a sports journalist and a writer as well as an editor.
It's such an interesting time to be on campus. A lot of campus publications and sites have made a lot of news in the off season. Do you have a specific approach, or is it primarily just to cover the sporting teams, especially football, on your beat?
We're doing a lot to diversify our sports portfolio. So we brought on a lot of writers to be able to cover the lesser known sports. Like, our rifle team was competing for a national championship, and that wasn't necessarily being covered. And that's going to be something that will be a part of our weekly, daily output.
That's interesting. Well, let's get to the subject at hand, which everyone knows is college football. First of all, I've asked a number of people when we visited Oxford, we were there twice last year, what is it like to cover Lane Kiffin?
It's a great question. It's a really exciting thing to do. He's very, and it's come out more recently, he's very different in practice than he is with the media. And you can pretty much tell when he's on the sideline and how he is in post-game interviews that he is different. And I think that works in tandem with how great of a coach he is. He knows when to turn on his humor and when to be a very serious coach. And as a student journalist, it's been very fun to interact with him and how nice he is, even though he really could choose to be not so nice because I'm just a student.
So I'm curious because everyone loves Lane Kiffin from a distance, but I don't know that many young reporters or older reporters for that matter who really know him. How much does he let you see?
For the most part, I've only been a part of post-game interviews. I've been on the field a couple of times to see their warm-ups. But with that being said, he's very open in postgame and even pregame interviews. He's very receptive to the media. When we don't lose a game, we're not supposed to lose. But yeah, he's very receptive to questions and student journalism in general.
Cameron, as far as the team, the quarterback situation is one that a lot of folks have been discussing. There are multiple choices. Where do you see this ending up? Who's going to run the show?
The vibe around campus, in my personal opinion, is that Jackson Dart should be our starter. I think with the amount of turnover, roster turnover that we have from year to year, it's very important to have some sort of continuation from last year. And we'll have that with the offensive line and our running backs. But to have it from a quarterback standpoint with Jackson Dart being in the system for a year and now rolling into this year, I think it would be very important for Lane Kiffin and his staff to put trust in Dart to develop and be at the helm for this program.
We certainly, in the offseason, a lot was made of the new coordinator on the defensive side, Pete Golding. I think I saw him speak to the media the other day. I don't know if you were there, but what are you hearing and what do you sense about him?
We, on campus and the team, we're very excited to have him. The defense has been something that, for lack of a better word, has been behind the offense for the better part of the last decade. And so for him to come in from Alabama, have experience with those top tier guys, bring some guys in from the transfer portal, develop the guys we already had, is going to be very exciting to see how much he can do to have the defense catch up with the offense.
Cameron, let's take a look at the season, because Ole Miss is in the top 25. They're pretty high expectations in spite of an absolute crash and burn to end last season. Tulane is the first game that people will really focus on, and then it really gets crazy. At Alabama, LSU, so you play three ranked teams in the first half of the season. Couple of road games before you get to Georgia and closing with the Egg Bowl. Give us a primer on what we should be watching for and how you think the Rebels are going to fare in 23.
I think it's very important to break up the schedule into a sort of pod system. I put it in a three-game pod, so you start with the first three. You got Mercer, Tulane, and Georgia Tech. And you would love to be able to say that Ole Miss comes out of that pod 3-0, and I think the expectation is that they will. Then you move on to one of the toughest pods in the country, which is Bama, LSU, and Arkansas, three teams that we lost to last year. The good news this year being we have two of them at home, so I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we go away from that pod 2-1. Then you move on to the Auburn, Vandy, and A&M pod, and these are three teams we beat last year, and I don't really see much of that changing as we have A&M and Vandy at home. Auburn could be tough with Hugh Freeze and all the hype behind that game, but I still think we get out of that one 3-0. And then you move on to the Georgia pod. And that's Georgia, ULM, and Mississippi State. Obviously, Georgia's back-to-back national champions. I don't think I'm crazy in chalking that one up to a loss. But then ULM, Mississippi State, I think it's a very manageable back part of the season. As for like a ceiling floor kind of thing, I think a ceiling is 10-2, 11-1, and a floor, this could be a very volatile team. They could go 6-6 if they slip up a couple of times.
Well, you've given us a six-game differential, which is pretty wide, but I'm really interested more in 10-2 or 11-1. To get to 11-1, that would just be astounding from the peanut gallery. I don't know. I think the over and under on Ole Miss is certainly maybe 7.5 or something like that. Give me a sound reason why
I think
Ole Miss could end up that high.
Yeah. For this particular schedule, I think it's important that we play Bama early in the season because earlier in the show, we had someone talking about the quarterback situation and the receiver situation. I think it's going to be something that lingers throughout the season. So if Ole Miss can catch Alabama early and catch them out of sync or not being themselves, I think that could be very beneficial to that 10-2, 11-1 record. And then LSU is at home. Now, again, they have Jaden Daniels, and we've talked about can he make a Joe Burrow leap, which is possible. But then again, LSU lost a good amount of people, and I'm very high on what Ole Miss brought in compared to what LSU lost. So I'm not saying that it's going to happen, but best case scenario is that.
Cameron Larkin from the Daily Mississippian, a very upbeat outlook, and I'm sure Ole Miss fans are jumping for joy right now as they head to the Grove to celebrate your predictions. Thank you very much, Cameron. The most optimistic report we've seen so far on Ole Miss. I realize he had qualifiers in there, but the fact that the sports editor of the campus newspaper thinks Ole Miss could go as high as 11-1, including a win at Alabama. I'm glad you came for this conversation. We have much more to come, including your reaction to that, in just a moment.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I thought it was very interesting what Cameron said. He was very high on Ole Miss. He said they could get to 11 wins, but he was pretty point blank about Ole Miss. What he said, what Ole Miss has brought into its system versus LSU, flat out picking a win over at home over the LSU Tigers. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, wait, hey, that boy must be smoking crack, huh? Hey, you believe that boy, Paul Feinbaum? Be for real. Nobody ain't tell that boy no better, Paul Feinbaum. I give you high respect. I wasn't going to call in today because I'm watching the Little League World Series. Since I've seen that ignorant fool you had on that just now, that student, you believe that boy? Come on now.
I do not believe that, Dwayne. I'm with you.
I know good well you don't believe. Why you ain't tell no better, Paul Feinbaum?
He's a young reporter. I want him to sprout his wings.
It'd be broken. It's going to be broken this year. I bet bones in his wings going to be broken this year. Okay.
Pat is up next in Georgia. Hey, Pat.
Hey, Paul. Thanks. I don't know what to think about Ralph Russo and AP Top 10. I know Georgia's supposed to be there. They're likely contender for a three-peat, and Carson Beck is a winner, and Mike Bobo. So I guess blue bloods for the rest of them. But I don't understand why Greg Sankey is to blame for the current mess. He added two brand names, Texas and Oklahoma, to the SEC, which made the pie bigger, and he's not expanding anything according to what he has to say. There's no expansion in the near future. Everybody else is just knee-jerk and late to the party, and after the music's over, they don't have a chair to sit down in. But the reason I called, I've been thinking about Georgia, and I always like to pay attention to demographics, and I have forgotten about the demographics of 18 to 22-year-old football players. And that explains a lot in my mind about the alleged culture problems that Georgia has had over the last 12 to 18 months. Anyway, what's your take?
No, I need to understand your take before I give you mine, Pat.
Well, we're talking about several – well, John – from Kentucky. He's all been out of shape about the culture problem that Kirby's got at Georgia. There's no culture
okay,
problem.
Okay, I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I agree. I don't think Georgia's any different than any other school. It just so happens to be getting more attention, and sadly and tragically, a loss of life occurred. That to me is what separates Georgia. Other than that, I think he's running a really good program that has a lot of young people who are being young and foolish.
And what do 18 to 22-year-old males who play college football, which is a violent game to begin with, and everybody honors them, and they're, you know, that's what looked like, I say, the best word I have for it, Paul, is demographics. Look at what you're dealing with. Kirby's done a excellent. He's done a better job at Georgia than a whole lot of people.
Yeah,
over
I mean,
long
the difference, Pat, too, is the reporting of it. I think this stuff is pervasive. It always has been. It's just a matter of how much of it gets out into the open. I think more got out in Georgia because I think there was an agenda to get more out, and obviously a lot of it got out incorrectly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Jay is up next in Alabama. Hello, Jay.
Roll Tide, Paul. How's it going today?
Okay.
I just got a response to I-Man. He said that all the new callers are just bad-mouthing all the new callers. And I got this to say to you, I-Man. I hope you're listening. You were a new caller at one time. So what makes you so supreme, I-Man? You put your pants on one leg at a time, just like all of us do. Anyway, Paul, that's pretty much all I got to say. They both need to quit calling. Bottom line, they suck as callers. They never talk about football. They just talk about themselves.
Just to make sure I understand you correctly, who sucks as callers?
I'm in and Jim. They never talk about football. They just talk about themselves, like they gloat on themselves, especially Jim. I mean, every once in a while, I-Man does talk football, but most of the time, he don't even talk about sports, football, nothing. And this is a sports show.
It sure is. Jay, thank you very much. Brian is in Louisiana. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Paul. How's it going today?
Very well. Thank you.
All right. Well, I have a bold prediction for 2023. I think that LSU will be in the national championship game this year.
And what do you base that on, Brian?
I base that on a pattern I've seen since 2004. LSU won the national championship in 2004 with Nick Saban. Then Les Miles brought them one in 2008. In 2012, they competed for a national championship. 2020, they won one with Joe Burrow and Ed Orgeron. So it's like, with the exception of 2016, every 4 years, they've either competed for or won a national championship. And the championship will be played in 2024, so don't be surprised to see LSU in the championship game.
Yeah, but the only problem, thank you for the call, the only problem is Auburn, is LSU won in 07 and 19. Wouldn't that be a fly in the ointment there? He was going for the even year. They've actually won in the odd years. They won in 03? Yeah, he got all that wrong, but his point was the same. Jim is up next.
There you go, Paul. You got this J with an A behind his name, and you know what that stands for. And that's what he is. Who does he think he is coming here? Would you agree with this, Paul? Because you named this. You're the one that did this. I-Man and myself are now and have been recently named co-speakers of the Feinbaum House. You understand what I'm getting at, don't you?
I do.
Not Newt Gingrich. Not who's the idiot? Who's there now? I can't remember who is now. The speaker. McCarthy. All talk and no action. We are the speakers of this house. Would you agree with that?
Well, there's no question. You and I, man, are the most talked about callers with one or two.
No, we are the ones that dictate the policy. Is that right or not?
That is correct, Jim.
Okay. I sent you a check list that you could go over all the yes questions. Evidently, you didn't look at it. But anyway, I'm going to go on with it. You know what, Paul? I'm going to tell you the truth. Yeah, we're going to respond. I'm going to respond to these thugs like Doug from Tulsa. He's a thug. He's attacked me verbally. Has he not? You've heard him attack me many times.
He did.
Many times, I didn't respond to it. And the same goes for the old freaking idiot. The old freaking idiot, Joe, ugly Joe, not handsome. There's nothing handsome about him. Handsome about that guy. I saw his picture. I don't know. Did you see the picture? He went. I'm not sure. It was a funeral he went to back in January. It was a picture of Joe and four other guys, older guys. Old guy. You're talking about old. They were old. And Joe didn't have his stupid hat on. That picture, obviously that picture with his hat on was taken 30 years ago at least. Because Joe is at least 80, about 75 or 80. He's bald, solid bald head, not a hair sticking out of it. He's an ugly old man getting on here every day, trashing me, talking about me, and he can't touch me. And you know that, Pop. And you used to say it, but I'll say it for you.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.